As we wrap up Paul's letter to Titus this morning that was preserved in the New Testament for our benefit, it's important to remember that we live now in a world where our mission and our beliefs are questioned, in a pluralistic world where religious beliefs and political beliefs and ethnic groups are multiple. But it was exactly the same in Paul's time and in Titus's time. And yet, Paul's admonition to Titus is kind of surprising in this last chapter. So I'll read his words. Remind them, and this is reminding the Christians, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for the person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinful, he is self-condemned. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, do your best to welcome him at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works, so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Would you pray with me? Lord, we just ask that you help us by your Holy Spirit to be the people that we cannot be in our own strength. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for that intro, Scott. And I'll have you know, I am a paid professional. I just happen to work full-time in human resources for a great company that we build wind farms, solar farms, and it's up in Broomfield. So some of you know I've been commuting since July up to Broomfield, and it takes me about 45 or 60 minutes to get up there to Broomfield. And so most days it's really, I'm a little bit of a internal guy, so I like the quiet time. So I have lots of time in prayer and just meditation. But sometimes on the way home I do turn on sports talk radio. And I like to listen to talk about the Broncos. Yeah, and a couple weeks ago, they had Derek Wolfe on there. And if you know, Derek Wolfe's a lineman for the Broncos. And they asked him a question that a lot of interviewers ask sports guys, which is, who do you want to have in the foxhole with you when you're out on the field, when you're doing battle? Who's got your back? And without hesitation, Derek Wolfe says, D'Amato Pecco. And if you know D'Amato, D'Amato is this 6'3", 326-pound nose guard on the Broncos defensive line. Yeah, he's a Samoan guy. He grew up in Samoa. He's got the long, wavy hair, just the kind of guy that you want behind you when you're facing the enemy. And, you know, as I was studying Titus 3, I thought, you know, this situation is kind of similar to that. Paul has left Titus on Crete. That's what it says. He left him there. And he left him with a mission. It was actually a turnaround. He said, hey, you need to appoint some elders here. You need to teach them, have them exhort and teach sound doctrine. And there's going to be some tough guys to deal with there. These Cretans are tough. Remember, they're disobedient. They're bad talkers. These are real tough people to deal with. And then the last thing is he told Titus to teach. And we've heard a lot about that over the last weeks. And man, if any of you are teachers or have taught, that can get tough, right? You're exhorting the word, and sometimes you get some conflict, some feedback that's tough to deal with. So Titus is out there on the battlefield, and we're going to talk a little bit today about who's got his back. So would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive the power and the glory and the honor. Lord, we just pray that you would move mightily through your word today, that you would teach us, that you would pierce us through and through with the truth of your word. Lord, I pray that it would change our lives today and cause us to act differently, to serve you more greatly in the power of your spirit. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's get into the word here. And we are going to look at the key phrase. So if there's one thing you'd write down today, take that little slip out of your Bible there that says the good, the bad, and the ugly on the top, and there's a key thing. I really encourage you to write down one thing, Titus 3:8. That is our key verse for today, Titus 3:8. And we're going to read that one right now. Mike's already done it, but I want to get it up there again. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Write that one down. And then you've got some empty spaces there. If all you write down today are three words, I want you to write down three words. One is trustworthy. The second one is insist. And the third one is careful. So three words. You can stop writing. If you have those three in your head, when you walk out of here today, I think you'll remember what Titus is telling us, or Paul's telling Titus here. So let's start with trustworthy statement. We're gonna build a little foundation here before we actually get into the full text. So if you look up the Greek, the word here in Greek is pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S. It's mentioned 67 times in the Bible. And it's used in two different kind of senses. One is an active sense, and another one is a passive sense. And in our text here, it's passive. And I want to get a little definition on that. The active sense of pistos is the act of believing or trusting. So the root word there in the Greek is the act of believing or trusting. For the passive sense, in the King James, it's faithful. The word for us is trustworthy, out of the English Standard Version. And one definition even says trusty. I like that. It's a good one to remember when you're thinking of a trustworthy statement. Trusty. All right. So Paul is saying, this statement that I've just read, and we're going to get to it, is trusty. You can count on it. You can believe it. It's always true. So, next question I had was, what makes a statement trustworthy? If you were Titus and you were reading this letter from Paul, what would cause you to believe, you know, this is always true. I'm going to believe on this word. I'm going to count on it. I'm going to take some action on it. You know, you might say, oh, I believe it. It's in the Bible. I believe the Bible. That's easy to say, but do you know it so well? Do you trust it so much that you're willing to take action on it? Ask that for yourself. And a little teaser here, are you willing to apply it to your foxhole situation? Is Titus going to take and use this in the battle that he's in? Henry Augustus Rowland. You can see his picture up there. He was a professor of physics at Johns Hopkins University. And he was once called to be an expert witness at a trial. During cross-examination, a lawyer demanded, "What are your qualifications as an expert witness in this case?" The normally modest and retiring professor replied quietly, "I am the greatest living expert on the subject under discussion." Later, a friend acquainted with Rowland's disposition expressed surprise at the professor's uncharacteristic answer. Rowland answered, "Well, what did you expect me to do? I was under oath." So, Professor Rowland is the kind of guy you could trust, right? He's trustworthy. He had done all his scientific studies in physics. He'd tested them in the lab. By science, he'd proved it in the lab. He'd written white papers, and he'd published them, and other people had taken that finding of true science, and they'd found it to be true. This is the kind of guy that when he makes a statement, you can trust. It's a trustworthy statement. So if you had been sitting on that jury that day, would you have taken action based on what Professor Rowland had said? Would you be moved to make a decision based on that? I think I would. He's the kind of guy you could really trust. So let's go back to our original question. Why would Titus find this statement in that Paul's making to him trustworthy? Back to that kind of interview scenario that I was talking about on the radio, where they were talking sports. I'm imagining myself sitting in a little cafe in Jerusalem, maybe having a little cup of dark Mediterranean coffee. And across from me is sitting Titus. And I would say to Titus, "Hey, Titus, you've been out in the ministry wars. You've been fighting the battles. Who would you have behind your back?" And I can imagine Titus responding without any hesitation, just like Derek Wolfe did, "Paul of Tarsus, that's the guy I want in the foxhole with me." Well, why would that be, Titus? Why would you want him there with you on the battlefield? Well, you know, there's two things. The first one I would say about Paul of Tarsus is he held to the gospel no matter what, even to the point of death. If we look at what he had to say there in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 25, "I was beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 31 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep." You know, that's a guy I can trust. He preached the gospel to the point of death. The second thing, remember, this is Titus talking. That guy had my back. You know, it was a while back, but Paul and I came here to Jerusalem once, and Paul had a revelation, and in that revelation, it was about circumcision. In the revelation, he was told, you know, if you're a believer, you're saved because you believe on Jesus, that he died for you. You don't need to get circumcised to be saved. But even Paul, in the face of enemies and battles, had some doubts. So we came down here to Jerusalem to talk to the brothers, the Jewish brothers, to find out if that revelation could be confirmed. And, you know, he met with Peter and the other disciples and some of the Pharisees that had believed on Jesus, and they had a debate about circumcision and uncircumcision. And, you know, Paul stood up to even Peter. Peter wasn't being straightforward there about circumcision. And, you know, Peter's that guy who, even though he denied Jesus three times, he still had the guts to follow him all the way to the cross, even though he was hanging back a little bit. Peter's the guy who, when Jesus called him, walked on water. Peter's the guy who Jesus said, you're the rock, Peter. I'm going to build my church on you. Yet Paul stood up and said, Peter, you're not being straightforward about this. Now, what does that mean to Titus? Take a look at I skipped one here. Galatians 2:3. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So I'm thinking this is how Titus is thinking. We went to Jerusalem. He's under pressure to get circumcised. Can you see the Pharisee believers, and Peter kind of coming after Titus and, you know, Titus, to get saved, you really need to get circumcised. And Paul stood up and said, no, you don't have to do that. You're saved just by believing. That's in Galatians there. And you know, that's the kind of guy I'd want to have in the foxhole with me and would have my back. So it really matters who makes the statement. Paul made the statement to Titus. Ultimately, this word that Paul is sharing is from God. So where the statement comes from is key. So let's dig into the statement a little bit here. Let's go to Titus 3, 1-2. So it says, Paul says to Titus, remind them to be submissive to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy to all people. That's what he's reminding them to do. Then in Titus 3:3, he says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others, and hating one another. So I like to list these out side by side to see the contrast. On one side, you can see what he's reminding folks to be like. On the other side, he's reminding of where they came from. So there's been a change there. So as you compare those two things, the next verse in Titus 3:4-7 says, but. So there's a big emphasis on but here. So he's setting up what allowed that change from what you used to be to what I'm reminding you now to be. Something happened. Something instigated that. Something caused them to change their behavior. It says in 3:4-7, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, who he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his what? Grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So those things, that part of the statement, allowed the behavior of the believers to change. So I got another list here. I'm a list guy. I got to list things out. It helps me with verses. So you can see them all up there. God is good. He is kind. He's loving. He sent his son. Jesus saved us according to his mercy, not by our works. By the washing of the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit poured out richly through Jesus, justified our grace by grace and heirs to hope of eternal life. I think most of us have probably heard all those things before. Those are the things that we know and believe that cause us to be able to change our behavior there in verses 1 through 3. I want to focus on the two about washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. What is that? That one kind of caught my attention as to, I want to understand that a little better. So we're going to focus on that part of the statement. First one here, when you think about the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:3. If you believe in Jesus, we believe you've got the Holy Spirit in you right now, today. And Ephesians 1:13 talks about that. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. So that's a for sure. If you're a believer, you've got the Holy Spirit. So then what is this regeneration and renewal thing going on here? How's that connected back to the statement that Paul is saying is trustworthy? Do these things because you used to be like this. I want to go to Romans, another place where Paul talks about the Spirit. And there's some old faithfuls here that I want to run through that talks about renewal of the Spirit. So the first one is, we've got this problem in Romans 7:15 that Paul talks about. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. So if you think back to those two scenarios in the first part of Titus 3 here, it says, be obedient, but we used to be disobedient. How'd that change? There's just still this struggle going on, Paul says, between actually doing those two things. So when we've got that problem, if you go on to Romans 8:15-16 there, it says, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit himself, here's our witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So here's where the Spirit starts working on us at this point, where we've got this problem of doing those things Paul's reminding us to do, and we need the help of the Spirit to do them. And then on to Romans 23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. So there's these first fruits, there's this ongoing renewal, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And then lastly, in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us incur with our weaknesses. So there's this process going on of where the Spirit helps us make that change in behavior that Titus is talking, hearing Paul say to him. So, summing up on the word number one that you've got on your list there, trustworthy statement. It matters who says it, and it's key to have the power of the Holy Spirit renewing and regenerating us as we're trying to live the way Paul is asking Titus to live there. So I want to go on to insist, word number two. Titus 3:8 now says, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. I want you to insist on these things. So those things he had just said. There's three different versions I looked at. ESV, English Standard Version, says, insist on these things. King James says, affirm them constantly. The New American Standard says, concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently. So I'm going to insist here on these. I'm going to do a little scenario story here. I lost my card. I'm going to bring it down here. So I really, you know, Paul talked about hating that struggle of, I want to do the right thing, but I can't. If you go back to these verses here, I'm going to pick a few out. I hate it when I'm disobedient. I've been disobedient to the word this week. I hate that. I want to be obedient, but I can't. I hate it when I'm a slave to passion and pleasure. I've done that this week too. I just can't help myself sometimes. I don't want to be that. I want to be obedient. Sometimes, you ever do this? It says, we used to hate others. Sometimes, maybe it's bitterness. Maybe, I know I do get bitter. I actually hate other people sometimes. I don't want to do that. I want to be showing perfect courtesy to all people, like Paul tells Titus to do that. So what's the deal with that? You know, I was talking about my job. Monday mornings. Don't you love Monday mornings? So I'm in the car. I get up at 5. I leave the house at 5:30. I'm on the way to the new job. And I'm thankful for this job. It's a great company. I'm thankful for the job. But I'm in anguish. Oh, God, you've given me this job. Thank you. I prayed for it. You gave it to me. But it's so hard. Why does it have to be so hard? And my mind goes to Romans. And my spirit just cries out, Abba, Father, help me today. I need your help. And his spirit speaks one word that I really like from Joshua. You know, y'all know this one. It's Joshua 1:8. And I'm going to blank out on it here. Help me out. It's about meditating on the word of God. And by there you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. And then you will have success and then you will be prosperous. Well, I like the next verse even better. So as I'm in anguish about going to another hard day of work, the Lord says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. I am the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I get encouraged. I'm like, man, Abba, Father, you answered. You are with me. So I go to work. I have a pretty good day that Monday. You know, God works. Make progress. Get a few things done. And so I get home. And this is going to sound a little weird. I lay back on my pillow. I'm replaying the day. And it's like that next verse in Romans, the fruit of the Spirit one, the first fruits. I just said, Jesus, speak. And, you know, like I was talking about those first verses when I'm in the car and you're driving along and you remember the verse and then you hear the Spirit and you hear the Lord speaking through his word. But this time I really heard an audible groan. And I'm not going to try and repeat it here because it'll sound too weird. But it was an actual moan. And I had to get up out of bed and walk into the bathroom. I was afraid. And the assurance, though, that that gave me was God is real. His Spirit does work. As you're out there on the battlefield, whatever it may be, your anguish may not be a new job. Your anguish may be anguish over a loved one who has fallen away, who doesn't know Jesus. Maybe you don't have a job, and you're in anguish about, you mean, how am I going to make the payments? That's the kind of anguish we're talking about. Here's Titus. Can you imagine the anguish he's having there in those things that Paul had left him to do? But that's the power of the Spirit there. So I would insist that you remember this trustworthy statement. If you're going to be obedient, and you didn't used to be, you're going to need the power of the Spirit to get you through that. And you're going to need someone like Paul to get in the foxhole with you And you're going to need someone like the Holy Spirit to help you get up out of the foxhole and fight the battle. And that's what happens when we move on here to careful. Our third word. So we've got trustworthy statement, insist, careful. So I'm going to read it again here, Titus 3:8. The saying is trustworthy. I want you to insist on these things. And then it's so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. So our third word is careful. I want to talk about three things here. So the next one is so that you may be careful. It's key to read that so that you may be careful. Something comes first there before you start being careful to do works. You have to know where your strength is coming from. So, yep, we want to be obedient. We didn't used to be obedient. Now you need to know that you're saved. You didn't do it through your works. You're being regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you've got the justification by grace, and you're eventually going to end up in heaven. That's your motivation for doing good works. You want others to know him. You want to see him working through you so that he is glorified. That's the first place you got to get to. Then slide, next slide. We do need to do some good works. We actually need to get out there and do something. That's what Paul is saying. It's so that believers can be careful to do good works. Paul mentions it five times here in Titus. First one in 1:16, he starts out by saying, those that aren't believers are unfit for good works. 2:7, he wants them to be a model of good works. 2:14, he wants them to be people who are zealous for good works. Then we get to our verse in 3:8 here, devoting themselves to good works. And lastly, in 3:14, learn to devote themselves to good works. So, number one, so that, need to know where we're coming from before we do good works. 2, got to do some good works. 3, don't be distracted by Cretans. Verses 9 through 11 says, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with them, knowing that such a person is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned. You know, this is Satan at work here, distracting us from the main point. You can't do good works if you're getting distracted arguing about whether to be circumcised or not. You're getting away from the main point, which is Jesus saved us. We've got the power of his Spirit. We're going to live with him forever. Stick to the main things here is what Paul's telling Titus. Don't get distracted by those circumcision guys. Want to end here with a Dwight L. Moody story that I've shared before and a little different preamble to it. It was the summer of 1871, and two of the women in Dwight L. Moody's church in Chicago were moved to pray for him. And they were praying that Dwight L. Moody would be baptized with the Holy Ghost and of fire. And at first, Dwight L. Moody was a little irritated by that. But he just wasn't feeling his ministry being powerful. So ultimately, he ended up sitting with them on Friday afternoons and praying for the power of the Spirit. And then in November 1871, there was the Great Fire in Chicago. Remember that one? And Moody's church burned to the ground. He went to New York. Talk about a battle, right? Praying for the Holy Spirit. Not sure you've quite got it. Your church burns to the ground. He's walking the streets of New York City looking for money to rebuild his church. And day and night he would walk the streets in desperate search for God's power to touch his life. And I don't have the words up there, but I'm going to read it. One, and these are Dwight Moody's words. One day in the city of New York, oh, what a day, I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it.
It is almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went to preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before. That blessed experience, if you should give me all the world, it would be small dust in the balance. That just sounds like such a story that's similar to what Titus has got going on here. Paul is saying, you have got to have the power of the Spirit working in your life, or those good works are going to be for nothing. If you're not doing them in the power of the Spirit, they're just not going to work. So, who do you want with you in the foxhole as you're going through life? I know I want someone like Paul, who's got my back, who's going to remind me of these things, who's going to insist that I remember every day that Jesus saved me and that the Holy Spirit is with me. He is real, and he's going to give me the strength and the power to keep on going. I can assure you that if you are in anguish today over something, that he will come and minister to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. So remember three words: trustworthy. You can trust this word in Titus because Paul said it, but ultimately God said it. Insist. I really encourage you to find someone who's going to remind you of his word daily and how faithful he is. When you get in that tough spot, they're going to come behind you and say, don't give up. Never give up. Keep the battle. He is true. Remember when he was faithful to you before. And then careful. We do need to do good works. We just need to do them in the power of the Spirit so that he gets the glory and others will see God working in our lives. So if you'll just pray with me now, we'll wrap up. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray right now that if there's just one person in this room who has not accepted you as their Savior, then cannot say, Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love, for your kindness. Lord, I just pray right now that if there's a person like that here, they would just pray in their heart, Jesus, I need you. I believe you love me, that you came, you died for me. Lord, I invite you into my heart. Lord, I'm in anguish and I need you to come in. Lord, I just pray your Spirit would work on that heart right now to help it accept you as Savior. Lord, we give you the praise for that. And Lord, for all of us who are believers, Lord, we want to do your will. We want to do as Titus reminds us, to be obedient, to love others and not hate them, to not get caught up in things of the world. Lord, when we find those moments of anguish where we're just not sure that you're there, Lord, help us to cry out, Abba, Father. Even now, Lord, I pray that you would give strength to those who are struggling. And Lord, just help us all to experience the joy of your presence. Give us that first taste of your Spirit. Lord, we look forward to being with you in eternity, to that place where, just like Dwight Moody said, we can right now even hardly stand your presence, Lord. We look forward to being able to be in that presence night and day forever, Lord. But we pray all these things in the power of your Son's name. Amen.